Good afternoon and welcome all here and online. This is a special service to gather as a circuit and to say our goodbyes to our Superintendent Minister, Peter Powers, who's vanished. There he is. You're hiding in the second row. In the event of an emergency, please could you leave through the doors at the entrance of the sanctuary or the doors here to my left and your right. I'm delighted to welcome the Reverend Miriam Moule to lead our worship, and our preacher, Simeon Mitchell, who's here in the front, for this afternoon's service. Thank you, Miriam. Start us off.
Thank you, Janet. Good afternoon, everyone. Can I just make sure folks can hear? Excellent, wonderful. Always like to do a sound check, friends. As Janet has said, we are gathered here this afternoon to worship, to give thanks, and to say farewell to Peter. I wish you a warm welcome to all those here and all those joining us on Zoom. It's a joy to have you with us. Siblings, as we gather, I'm grateful to all those who are participating in this act of worship this afternoon. Huge thanks to our preacher, Simeon, to our wonderful Rockfish behind me, and to the choir from Wesley Memorial who will sing for us, to my colleagues who will lead us in prayer, to our readers, our AV folks, and all those who have come together today, to those of you who have brought cake and those of you who have eaten it. You are very welcome. And we also welcome representatives and friends from the circuit, from our churches, and ecumenical friends and colleagues too. We still ourselves for a moment as we recognise that we are in the presence of God. So let us pray. With nature in its power and beauty, with rain and wind and sunshine, we gather in praise of God. With believers and seekers the whole world wide, and people of every land, we gather in praise of God. With Jesus, who promised his presence, and the Spirit, who showers her blessings, we gather in praise of God. Here may heaven and earth embrace. Here may God's people find warmth, welcome, and home. As we gather in praise of God, be with us now, Holy One. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, our first song this afternoon is from the Oxford Circuit Songbook, number 135, words on the screen as you can see. Shout for joy and sing your praises to the King.
Thank you.
do be seated. I'm delighted to welcome my colleague, the Reverend Paul Carter, to lead us in our opening prayers. Thank you, Paul.
I invite you to pray with me. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we gather together at this time and in this place to worship you, the God beyond all place and time, and yet God with us. Your presence with us brings joy and hope. We come to offer our very selves to you, all that is on our mind, all we have brought from the day, and all that over the years our work together has taught us. Holy God, God who is love itself, as we come towards an ending and the hope in a new beginning, we praise you for your overflowing grace, gifting us with life itself. As we come towards an ending and the hope in a new beginning, we praise you for the faith of Christ. Christ, the human one, the one who shares our life and death and leads us to your new life. As we come towards an ending and the hope in a new beginning, we praise you for the hope in the Spirit, your breath of life, around us, among us, within us. Safe in the knowledge of your love, safe in the knowledge that you are love itself, we come to offer our very selves to you, all that is on our mind, all we have brought from the day, and all that over the years our work together has revealed to us. Where we have failed, we look for your mercy and celebrate the good news that you offer forgiveness. Where we have felt a failure, we look for your grace and celebrate the good news that you offer acceptance, an invitation to be present with you, a chance for transformation, and always new beginnings. Where we have been part of good things, we praise you for the abundance of your love, overflowing into our lives and opening out space for more. We celebrate the good news of your kingdom built on love, so that whatever our gifts, whatever our role, wherever we find ourselves, our hope in you can bring joy. Creator, deliverer, redeemer, draw us close. Healer, provider, guide, keep your abundant hope alive in us. And so, God of love, God of faith, God of hope, three in one and one in three, we worship you. With the breath of the Spirit and in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. We're now going to hear our scripture readings, which Derek and Janet are going to bring for us. Thank you.
Reading from Romans 12, starting at verse 4 through to 13. For just as in a single human body there are many limbs and organs, all with different functions, so we who are united with Christ, though many, form one body and belong to one another as its limbs and organs. Let us use the different gifts allotted to each of us by God's grace. The gift of inspired utterance, for example, let us use in proportion to our faith. The gift of administration, to administer. The gift of teaching, to teach. The gift of counseling, to counsel. If you give to charity, give without grudging. If you are a leader, lead with enthusiasm. If you help others in distress, do it cheerfully. Love in all sincerity, loathing evil and holding fast to the good. Let the love of the Christian community show itself in mutual affection. Esteem others more than yourself. With unflagging zeal, aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. Let hope keep you joyful. In trouble, stand firm. Persist in prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and practice hospitality.
The Gospel according to John, chapter 6, reading from verse 1. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world."
Thank you to Janet and for Derek for offering our readings this afternoon. We're going to sing our next hymn, which, if you're following in a hymn book, is number 681 from Singing the Faith, Community of Christ. We sing together. Do be seated. Friends, it's a huge delight to welcome Simeon Mitchell to lead us in preaching and sharing of the word this afternoon. Simeon, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Miriam. Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm not quite sure why I'm here. It may be because when I was serving as a circuit steward, I was the one who was responsible for making the invitation for Peter to come and serve here. Whatever the reason, it's a real privilege to have this opportunity now to speak. Peter, as many of you will know, has a reputation as a baker, particularly a baker of bread. So I want to begin by offering you not a eulogy, but a recipe. A recipe for those who seek to walk the way of Jesus together in order to point to God's kingdom. We might call them, as that last song did, the community of Christ. Or we might say simply, the church. What's the recipe for a church. Well, this is a recipe that dates back to the days of those first apostles. It's a recipe that has been adapted often, corrupted sometimes, but faithfully passed on from generation to generation of people of the way. The first ingredient in the recipe is a message. A message that you are loved, that you are all beloved, and that God longs for our healing and liberation and to live full lives as part of God's good creation, and for us to strive for those things for everyone too. That's the good news brought to us by Jesus. And if you like, a flavour that should be present in every mouthful of this dish. But it needs other ingredients too to carry that flavour. It's a simple dish, but its appeal and its strength come in part from its diversity. In his letter to the Romans that we heard read, to describe the church, Paul uses the image of a body made up of its different limbs and its different organs, all of which are distinctive and have important functions to fulfill. And if you like, he goes on to suggest his own recipe for a church. So let's add 12 followers into the mix to start with, shall we? Although 11 will do if circumstances require it. All different, some bringing nets, some skills, others questions, lots of questions, none of them perfect. And as they come into contact with the message, like yeast meeting water in bread making, they will be activated. And two things will happen. First, you'll see them start to change. There might be a new sparkle in their eyes. There might be different questions and a growing confidence and disinhibition as they discover what it is to trust God and to live for others. Secondly, they'll start to draw those others in. Women and men and children, often those on the margins, sometimes thousands at a time, like in our gospel story. These new recruits will bring their hunger for wholeness and the spice of more variety, and the whole dish will be enhanced as it incorporates all of our human experiences. It will draw in the bitter notes of our disappointments and suffering and the saltiness of our tears, but also be lightened by laughter and sweetened with joy. Now, the next step in this recipe is to infuse with spirit. Now, don't worry, good Methodists, the no alcohol needs to be brought onto the premises for that to happen. This spirit is all supplied by God. You'll see sparks and gusts bringing life to the mix, comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. So our dough is coming together now, and it's looking wonderful and alive. But we mustn't forget it needs time to rest too, time to worship and pray and give thanks. Even if it does not seem to have doubled in size afterwards, it will have reconnected with its creator and soaked up more of that life-giving message. When it seems that there is nothing left to prove, feel free to groan, throw in a pinch of salt. Have you noticed that almost any recipe in any book requires a pinch of salt, no matter what quantity of stuff it's producing? I don't know why, but maybe in this case, it acts as a reminder that we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously. So, is our dish ready yet? Well, it is both ready now and not yet now, to borrow a phrase. We get to experience a foretaste of it as we go along, but its full glory will only be known when it has risen with Christ. It's not something baked just once for all time, but more like one of those medieval innkeeper's pots of stew that is constantly kept simmering over the embers of a fire, to which things keep being added, so there is always enough to feed the next hungry arrival. The final step in our recipe, as in any recipe, is to serve. The recipe isn't worth following if it doesn't lead to service. Serve the poor and the needy, and the obstinate and the powerful too, for God's generosity knows no limits, and this should be a gift for all. Now, before anyone takes a bite, a warning. This dish will not be to everyone's taste. God's kingdom is unpalatable to those whose business is to exploit or to destroy the agents of death and empire. For those who would trample crops or maybe paint over murals, it may stick in the throat. The flavour will not suit the warmongers or the culture warriors. But for the rest of us, it will be life-giving. For the crowd on the hillside above Tiberias, for the one in nine in our world left hungry each night by systemic injustices, and for all who hunger and thirst for righteousness, it will provide sustenance for both the body and the soul. Friends, I know we've already had a lot of cake, but are you hungry for that? Are you hungry for that? Yes, good. And if you want to be part of making it a reality, say amen. 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 Good. Good. I love the wisdom of Friedrich Buechner when he observed that the place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. That's so good, I'm going to say it again. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Because this is a key point. A recipe needs a cook. In the case of this recipe, it needs more than one. It won't bake itself. To realise its purposes and to fulfil its mission, the church needs those who can guide, instruct, lead, encourage, chop, and do. We're all called to a role in this. And as Paul says to the Romans, we each bring our different gifts to it, as allotted by God's grace, which hopefully means that to participate in building God's kingdom is often a source of great satisfaction and joy. And God sometimes calls particular people to particular roles for a particular time, which brings us to this occasion we are marking in this act of worship. Today we give thanks that Peter has joined us in the kitchen of the Oxford Circuit for these last 3 years, and shared with us in baking this recipe, quite literally baking at times in the case of Bread Church. Peter, you have helped us to be God's people in our local communities, worshipping and inviting and serving. You brought with you new techniques, new rhythms, new ideas, and you have shared them generously. Many of us are now better bakers as a result, or better drummers. From the outset of your arrival here, you have faced different challenging circumstances, but you have nonetheless given very generously of yourself, sometimes in very costly ways, and for that we are truly grateful. As I come towards the end of my comments, I just want to pick out briefly 3 ways in which the story of your time here connects with the stories we've been exploring together this afternoon. In our reading from John's Gospel, we encountered the boy who contributed his lunch to feed the crowd, and in that moment played a crucial role in God's plan. Sometimes what is needed, what God needs, is the right person to be in the right time, in the right place, with the right gifts to offer. And you have been that, Peter. Even though it's been for a shorter time than we all originally expected, like that boy, with Jesus at your side, you have fed us, and you have left us with much to work with as we go forward. Secondly, as we went through that recipe for the church, I referred to the moment of activation as beginning a process of change. And one of the contributions that I think Peter has particularly made over these 3 years in our churches and our circuit has been to be an activator. In bread making, as I understand it, and Peter, I'm sure, will correct me if I'm wrong, you activate the yeast by introducing it to warm water and sometimes a bit of sugar or something else to help it along. So, activation wakes up the dormant fungus in the yeast so it can do its job of making the dough grow. Now, I don't want to push the metaphor too far and risk offending anyone here in the churches of the Oxford Circuit. There is no dormant fungus anywhere in here. I've got to be careful because you're leaving Oxford, but I'm not. So, but Peter, thank you for gently activating us to think about change and to think about growth. Finally, I want to acknowledge not only what Peter has done for and with us, but the way that he has done it and does it. For you go about your ministry with so many of those qualities that Paul mentions in the passage from Romans, with enthusiasm, with joy, with zeal, with generous hospitality, with cheerfulness, and above all, with love, which fittingly brings us back full circle to where we began with our recipe. So all it remains to say is bon appetit and thanks be to God.
Well, friends, how do I follow that? I'm not even going to attempt it. You'll be pleased to hear. We're going to sing our next song in a moment. If you're following in a hymn book, it's number 98 in the Oxford Circuit songbook. Lord, I come to you. And we sing together.
To you, and my heart be changed. To you.
Friends, on my order of service, the next thing says giving thanks to Peter. So Peter, I'm going to invite you to come up to the front and be thoroughly embarrassed by everyone giving thanks to you. So would you come and join us, Peter? I don't know quite where you want to be. I'm going to park yourself down there. Marvellous. So friends, we have a number of folks who would like to give thanks to and for Peter. The first is Kate Dobson, one of the senior stewards here at Wesley Memorial. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Miriam.
You know, I have reached that point where the getting down is easy enough. The getting up's another story.
You didn't have to get up.
No, listen, you always stand up for a senior steward.
You're intimidating.
I'll intimidate from a distance.
All right. Simeon said quite a few of the things that I was going to say, and that's very good that it shows we're on the same wavelength. But what I wanted to say about Peter is that he is the man of surprises. You really don't know what's coming next. The bread and the bread church, that was good. And it was very good because in lockdown we did it on Zoom. And we didn't just make bread. We made a whole range of things that some of us had never made before. And it was extremely good and good fun. But I have to say about Peter that it was the best of times, but it was also the worst of times. Because there was lockdown. And there was the Mounces saga. And there was your dad.
Oh, yeah.
There were a few slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, to quote another famous person. And through it all, the surprising thing was that Peter kept smiling. As Simeon said, always cheerful, always willing to give you time, always giving out that feeling that you are loved. There were some other things that Simeon didn't mention. When did you ever meet a minister who knew so much about electrics? And I know Frank won't mind me saying this, who gave such a powerful steer to getting our AV system marvellously transformed into what it can do now. And if you want to know more about that, ask all the people who came to Synod and all the people who didn't come to Synod who watched it on Zoom. Because that was something amazing. And it wasn't all you're doing.
No.
But your support in that and your knowledge was A, surprising, and B, fantastic. Now, the next thing I want to mention in the surprises was the day that Peter went to 3Generate. Because actually, he was meant to be here preaching. And he double-booked himself. So what did he do? He got himself on Zoom, on the screen, going round 3Generate in the sermon slot, telling us all what was happening in all the bits of 3Generate and what all the children were doing. And for those of us who've never been to 3Generate and are far too old for it anyway, it really was quite an eye-opener, a surprise. Thank you. The other surprise was everyone an evangelist. Now, I know some other people in the circuit have done everyone an evangelist, and I don't know how other people felt when it was about to be introduced here, but I thought, everyone an evangelist, this is going to be awful. The surprise was that we actually enjoyed it. And thanks to you for leading us through that. Thanks for everything. It's never been a dull moment. There have been lots of challenges and lots of exciting things. And we are going to miss you. You know that. But we're very privileged to have Miriam. And don't worry, he's a hard act to follow. He'll make other people suffer with that too. So thanks ever so much for being with us for 3 years. And go forward with our blessing. And we trust that everywhere you go, you will spread the same joy and infectious fun that you've brought to us.
Thank you very much, Kate. Next is Jeremy Burgess from Rose Hill. Thanks, Jeremy.
Very difficult to follow that analysis of you, Peter, but I'll do my best. I'd better put my glasses on so I can get it right as well.
Well, where would we be without our glasses these days?
Rose Hill, thanks you for leading us over the last 2 years. We understand that you have faced many personal and professional challenges, and your unfailing enthusiasm and encouragement has kept us moving forward. During your time with us, there have been many problems and numerous calls on your time. It is very encouraging that the work of Community Cupboard has continued to go from strength to strength during your stewardship. Thank you. More recently, our community drop-in cafe has evolved into a popular time in so many people's diaries. And much has been said of your bread services. That went down extremely well just recently, so thank you. The thing I remember most about Peter is that I think you are a consummate storyteller, whether as part of your sermons or over a cup of tea. I think this is a very special skill to bring life's experiences and observations into your sermons and make them relevant for the congregations you are talking to. I feel I know the surroundings in which you grew up in Birmingham and surrounding area, and a little bit about how modern girls, such as your daughters, interact with the world. So thank you again for that, although my own grandchildren are sons, but I'll no doubt be able to use some of your knowledge in managing those two. In particular, this does make me reflect on how different age groups act and react to the future we are facing. I'm sure your new congregations will appreciate your many skills and the fellowship you can bring. Thank you for spending time with us at Rose Hill. We wish you Godspeed and every blessing on your endeavours.
Thank you very much, Jeremy. We have some ecumenical friends and colleagues amongst us, some of whom I think would like to bring a word of thanks. If I can invite you up to the lectern here, friends, if you could just tell us who you are and how you know Peter, and then please do feel free to share. Thank you so much.
I'm Chrissy Shevasu, and I work for St. Columba's Church as their outreach and development worker with transgender people. Peter, this is a sad day. I still don't know what Peter does. Sometimes I think he doesn't know what he does. He has a dog collar. There are some church leaders that I really wouldn't want to spend time with. There are some church leaders that I would love to spend a lot of time with. It's been a real honour and a privilege to know you, Peter. And it's actually not what you do. It's never been about what you do. It's about who you are. And Peter's one of those special people that when you spend time with him, you come away feeling special. I can only ascribe that to your character, your history, your sufferings and your struggles. And that we acknowledge today that we see Christ in you, that you have shown us Christ. You've washed feet, you've served us in exemplary ways, and thank you is not enough. So I think I speak for all of us in saying that. So God bless you as you go, and we hope we'll be seeing you again.
He's taking the mic because I'm on the way on holiday in a little bit.
I'm just checking, he's off to Scotland. I don't want to keep him late.
Well, it means I'm not going to talk for very long because I've got a long drive ahead. But it's a pleasure to be here today, and it's been a pleasure to work alongside you, Peter, over the past few years. It's obviously just sad that it's not going to be for much longer than that. We first met leading services, joint services with New Road Baptist Church and St Columba's during the COVID pandemic, so leading them online, and it's been good to work with you over the past couple of years too. And it's good, as far as I'm concerned, to hear that you're being promoted to the East Midlands. I'm not so sure about that West Midlands lot, but it's good to hear you're off to Nottingham, where I'm sure you'll be well welcomed. Just thanks again for all that you have done, and we pray every blessing on you as you go.
Young person.
Hi, I'm also from New Road, like John, but I've had a weird space where I've been kind of out and about with Chrissy a lot of the time, working with the LGBT plus community in Oxford, and even further really into Oxfordshire. And all I can really say about Peter in this regard is I think in a church setting, I don't think I've really come across many people who are as great a friend as Peter has been to the LGBT plus community in Oxford. Your open embrace has been truly remarkable, whether it's been from coming and serving as a chaplain at Chrissy's Trans Theology Conference that she launched last September, coming along to Pride-related services, just anything and everything that we've asked of you. Basically, you've been there propping us up, and we just couldn't do what we have done over the last couple of years without you. So thank you.
Have we finished yet?
No, we haven't finished yet. Sorry. You need to keep standing up.
I'm standing.
Huge thanks to Chrissy and to John and to Josh for sharing with us. Next we have the circuit. So our senior circuit steward, Margaret Sawyer, is going to come and share, and Malcolm Dodds is also going to share alongside her. Margaret, over to you.
Oh, you might need to be. Although, to be fair, we can hear you quite well, Margaret, under normal circumstances. But we want to hear you, and the people at home, they're very keen.
Of course. In good Methodist tradition, we are going to be participatory. So when you see these words come up on the screen, that's your cue to join in. So Peter, in the mold of doing things differently, one day, a few years ago now, the Lord said, Peter, where are you? I know you're the man. You're going to work out my plan, the Lord said. Lead all the Oxford Methodists out of history, and we shall make each day, a new direction for the people of God. So every day, we're on our way, for we're set in your ways, Peter said. Each step is only a phase, Peter said. I'll go before you with CPD at my side to guide you all as the people of God. No matter what we may do, Peter said, I shall be faithful and true, Peter said. My love for you all will strengthen us as we go. So we did our best to keep up with the plan as the people of God. Peter, things have changed so sadly. We can't keep you anymore, so sadly. But we will remember the good things we've glimpsed in the short time we've had as the people of God. Whilst everything around us, it seems, is changing, we still say, thank you, Peter.
Well, stop. That is brilliant. Brilliant. Are you going to sing it, Malcolm?
No. My granddaughter, Rachel, looks up at me whenever I'm singing and says, will you stop singing? You're out of tune, but there we are. Wasn't the reading from Romans a job specification for a minister, and in particular a superintendent minister? And wasn't Simeon absolutely on the ball by saying, hasn't Peter lived up to that job specification? Your daughters are here, and you should be incredibly proud of your dad. The circuit has been blessed by Peter. He arrived at a really difficult time of lockdown and all the uncertainty and difficulties. I remember his welcome service at Wesley Mem, where he appeared from his car on film, as it were. But he has been someone who has been full of energy, bubbly joy, and has enabled so many in the circuit to do so much. And we heard about Rose Hill, but it's a similar story for all the churches in the circuit. He has enabled so many things to happen. He has also been an inspiration, particularly for young people and children. So many now go to 3Generate, so many churches have thriving numbers of young people and children, and so much of that is due to Peter's wonderful way of dealing and relating to young people. He has also enabled other projects, particularly eco-projects, where I think all the churches now in the circuit have some kind of eco award. And he's enabled that to happen with his enthusiasm. And as already been indicated, he's also a mine of talent and information. I got at various emails at various stages of the AV project from Peter rescuing situations. And I'm sure he has helped every single church in the circuit in a similar way. The final thing I wanted to say was that we are blessed, I think, in the Methodist Church to be a welcoming church, a diverse church, and that has been reflected particularly today. And Peter, as has been said in a very heartfelt way, has been an absolute inspiration to make this such a welcoming, inclusive, loving church. I now present to Peter, and we have a card, which I'm going to, you probably won't be able to quite see it unless you're at the front, but I hope Peter will be able to show it to everyone. It is by our wonderful expert cartoonist, Jim Godfrey, and shows Peter in an aspirational camper van, which he hopes to buy, and walk round and go round, no doubt with his daughters, I hope, and his cat, and a cat. So, with the thanks of the circuit, this is your card.
Thank you.
And we have a monetary donation and it says to the camper van fund. So, but on behalf of the circuit, on behalf of all the circuit stewards, past and present, our heartfelt thanks to you, Peter, for all you've done, and our very best wishes for your future.
Friends, my order of service now says opportunity for Peter to respond. How would you like to respond, sir?
I'm going to do it now, thank you, Madam Superintendent-to-be. Which is where I want to begin, to say thank you to Miriam, my colleagues, both ordained and lay. I'm not going to go on a great long list of thank yous, but I do want to thank them and those who have worked most closely in my role as minister and also as circuit superintendent. Without you, none of the work we do would go as smoothly as it does. It seems to me, years ago, I had a mentor minister who was dead old, and has since died, in fact, as is often the way. I did discover a little later on, having moved on from that particular appointment up in Liverpool, to find out that he wasn't as old as I thought he was, which is good, because Jim has drawn me younger than I am on the picture. So I'm grateful for that privilege. And he said to me words that I've held, and that is that he said, in ministry, one of the most important things you can say to the folk you walk alongside is, yes, let's have a go. Yes, let's do it. Yes, let's try. He said, too many ministers, too many leaders in the church are always looking for reasons why not to do something, rather than for reasons why to have a go. Even if it's a catastrophic failure, have a go. And so it seems to me that ministry is easy, actually. It brings its challenges here and there, you know. But it is about trying every moment to say yes to individuals, to groups, to communities, to churches and beyond. Saying yes to the possibilities that God places before us. But that's all I'm going to say. So thank you all for being here. I note there are more here than there were this morning, but that's no bad thing. It's good to see. And those of you who've joined in online, bless you. And hallelujah that we can now do that so well in these days. What a great delight. But I'm not finished yet. Good. There'll be a time. You'll have to take over soon enough. I bought some drums. Who wants to play some drums with me? It doesn't matter what age you are. Come in. This is your opportunity. Come and take a perch. I've got my one here. So we've all got one, but I'm going to need to nick a seat, otherwise I'm going to do myself a mischief. So have a sit on the thing there and get a drum. You're going to sing soon, aren't you? So I'll bring it back in a minute. There we go. Wrong side, wasn't it? But I managed it. Right. What we heard in the sermon, and here's a fantastic example, you don't have to be a minister to be a brilliant preacher, thank you so much. In fact, it helps if you're not, in my experience, a minister, that is. We've still got room for, there's a couple here, those of you who've not got yet, come on, have a go. But what we've heard throughout this service, and what you should hear in most services,
is what I call call and response. Okay? So we hear the call of God in the world and in the church, and our job is to respond to that call. And it may come to individuals or to groups, to families, to communities. No, it's good. Get going. Go on. Now, in call and response, we use it in drumming, which means that the person facilitating the drumming makes the call. So I play, and then you just repeat what I've played. Okay? We'll start off nice and simply. Just to say, it's very important that there's always space for free form in church life and in the work the church does in the world, okay? Now, you have to do it, like, in response. So that means together and after I've done my bit, okay? We're just keeping it simple. We haven't even got difficult yet. What we're illustrating here is that it's not always easy to respond, because sometimes the response demands a lot of us, especially if we've not done it before. But we should have a go. One of the great joys of drumming, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the absolute top notch of musical activities, because you don't need to be musical to do it. I love and appreciate all those who can play instruments that are much more complicated and do so brilliantly. We have fantastic musicians across the circuit in lots of places, and they are a delight and a joy. But everybody can join in with drumming and percussion in general, okay? Are you ready? You'll have to clap. Yes, brilliant. Now what we're going to do is we're going to start off slowly, and then we'll get faster until we can't go any faster at all. Okay, we're going to keep it nice and simple, but we're going to... It is also really helpful in building Christian community that we can start and finish together, which you did. Leave your drums where you are. Thank you. And thank you all.
Friends, another how do you follow that moment for me. Here we go. We are going to sing. No, we're not going to sing. The choir are going to sing. I beg your pardon. The choir are now going to sing for us. One is the body. Thank you, choir.
Picture.
What is the body and blood?
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing in those wonderful words. Peter, I need you to come back for a moment, please. He's raising his eyes to the heavens. No, I do not want the keys to the circuit safe. I want to pray for you. More importantly, friends, there is a response further on in the prayer. If you would join me in those words which are indicated or will be on the screen. So let's pray. We thank you, gracious God, that you have called Peter to share in the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, as superintendent among us. We thank you for sending upon him the grace of your Holy Spirit for this work and ministry, and for sustaining, guiding, and enabling him in this service by your life-giving power. We thank you for the ways in which Peter has enriched the life and witness of this circuit, and for the ways in which through his ministry, your name has been glorified. Sometimes this has been easy, at other times challenging. We thank you for your grace, your patience, and your redeeming love. In the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose life, death, and resurrection we all share. Amen. Amen. We praise and thank you, God of the journey, for Peter as he journeys on. We entrust him to your loving care, knowing that you are always with us as our faithful companion on the way. Shelter and protect Peter from all harm and anxiety. Grant him the courage to meet the future and grace to let go into new life through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. See, I make all things new, says the Lord. Gracious God, as we turn this corner in our life together, we pray that you will continue to renew us all in your grace. Pour out the gifts of your Spirit on Peter and on the whole of your church. We say together, as we all journey on, may we continue in your service, steadfast in faith, unwavering in hope, and united in your love for the life of the world and to the glory of your name. Amen. Friends, as we draw to a close in a little while, we hear our prayers of intercession, which Stephen Spain, another of our colleagues, is going to come and share with us. Thank you, Stephen.
Having given thanks and celebrated Peter's ministry here, we turn our minds to the wider world and the church of which Peter and all our ministries operate within. So let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are at work in this world, through and beyond the ministry and mission of your church. We thank you that you call us to be caught up in some small ways in what you are doing in the lives and communities of the people around us. So we pray for your church. We pray for your church where it is persecuted, where it must meet in secret, where it is struggling because of numbers, because of age, or in so many ways. We pray for where the church is ignored, seen as irrelevant, and your message seems to just not get through. We pray for the church where it is distracted by its apparent success. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of your world. We pray for those places that we can name from the news reports that we've heard recently, the places suffering from war and oppression, those currently suffering extreme heat waves, and those suffering from longer-term effects of the climate crisis. We pray also for those places that we cannot name, because they are not in the news, not seen as newsworthy, or they've fallen from the spotlight because nothing changes. Places where there is violence, prejudice, unemployment, grinding poverty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those with power, for the leaders of the nation, for business leaders, often more powerful than national leaders. We pray for and give thanks for those who lead for the sake of the common good, and pray that you will direct and inspire them. We also pray for leaders who do not seek the common good, those who have their own personal agendas. We pray that they may hear your prophetic word and be changed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Oxford and the surrounding towns and villages that are a part of this circuit, the many communities that are represented there, for those involved in education and healthcare, so many different businesses. We pray for those who are wealthy and for those who struggle. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are suffering today, for those who are experiencing illness, whether it's physical or mental, broken relationships, loneliness. And in a moment of quiet, we remember those who are on our hearts and minds today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, accept all our prayers. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we gather all our prayers as we share in the Lord's Prayer, and the words are on the screen. Our Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Stephen, for leading us in prayer. Friends, we come to our final hymn, after which Peter will offer us a blessing and a sending out. Our hymn is number 53 in the Oxford Circuit Songbook, number 53. God, who sets us on a journey, we sing together.
Thank you. before I send you out and bless you in God's name, I am to inform you that there is far too much cake uneaten. So if you want to go that way, you can collect cake. Or you can go and eat it before it gets collected, of course, that's another option. But please take the cake, because otherwise I have to take it all home and eat it. And I do not look like a person who needs more cake in his life, do I? Let's take a moment for stillness. May God send us out that we might hear God's call and give us courage to respond. And now and always, may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest upon us and upon those we love and seek to love. In the name of Christ, Amen.